This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Special guest joining us, Rookie of the Year, All-Pro out of Maryland. Great career with the Chargers. Lights out, Sean Merriman. Brought to you by Game Day Hospitality. And a good afternoon, Sean. How the heck are you?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Man, we are doing great. We're a big draft show. So we got two guys that scout up all these players, and we're constantly talking about them. And we're excited here coming out of the combine for this home stretch until we get to the draft. Now, let me ask you this. If you're the Titans right now, are you taking the Lions' edge there, Carter, or are you taking the quarterback?
You know, man, it's hard to pass up a guy that can step on the field and win and do things for you right now. That's on the defensive side of the ball with Carter. I mean, you can throw him on the field right now. He's going to produce for you. I think in a quarterback position, you know, there's got to be a build-up process, you know, the offseason, getting acquainted with the wide receivers and the offensive system. If you're looking for somebody to step on the field right now and produce, you know, that you go with a defensive player. It has happened so many times over the years. These guys come in and make noise early on. You don't have to wait.
How much has the combine changed since you went through it?
A lot, man. But, you know, the cool thing is, for me, I got a chance. I was at the East-West Shrine Bowl, the practices. My network, Lights Out Sports TV, we had the practices exclusively. So I got a chance to see a lot of those guys up close and personal. 92 guys, players from the East-West Shrine Bowl ended up getting invited to the combine. But I already saw, you know, the guys who shined and the players who shined that week. And a lot of them didn't play in the game because they had such good practices, like, you know, Kobe, the DB there. I mean, Kobe Bryant, he ate up the practices during the week. He didn't play in the game, and he's somebody that really jumped up on the draft board.
How much better is like a Shrine Bowl practice situation or game for evaluating compared to the combine?
The combine, you always want to see people 40s. You want to see their verticals. You want to see a bench test and if they have the ability to change direction. But more so, it's the actual playing time that you can never replace. You can never replicate that. And somebody can go in the combine and look great in shorts, right? You know, run great routes. But you put somebody in front of them and they can't get off the line of scrimmage. I think if you guys out there, make sure you download Lights Out Sports TV. I had all four practices on there, 92 guys who went to the combine. It was a great, great week of practice. The tempo, I was a little bit shocked at the physicality. The 1-on-1 pass rush and the 7-on-7 and the 9-on-7 drills, they really got after it.
Hey, Sean, you know, and you guys did a heck of a job, and I was glad to see Vach Lombardi and Zach Wolchuk help you out there with the commentary and stuff. I thought they did a really nice job. I was going to ask you, how can we improve on that? How can we improve on practice to showcase more? You mentioned the 1-on-1s and things like that, but is there things in the cards that we could do going into the future to kind of give people who follow the scouting world a little bit more out of that?
Yeah, I mean, look, the combine is going to be around because it's like your first visual 1-on-1 eye test. You get a chance to talk to the players up close, see who they are, their background, what motivates them, why are they doing what they're doing. I think that's what the combine is for. But you want the film. You want the film. You know, them change. You want to see a DN go down the line of scrimmage, and if he can change directions, if a quarterback boot out, like you can only replicate so much of that stuff, the reaction times in practice. So that's why, you know, I was very fortunate that the Shrine Bowl is their 100th annual East West Shrine Bowl game and their practices. They've never live streamed a practice in Lights Out Sports TV. We were able to get it. But if you guys go back and check. a lot. I think almost 26 players didn't play in the game because they practiced so well during the week because they know what they put on film was enough.
How would you grade the commentators? He mentioned Wolchuk and Lombardi out there getting it done. You giving my guys an A here, or what? They need to tighten it up a little bit.
Yeah, no, those guys got an A++. They came out and saved me.
Let's go.
That's fantastic.
They really took things to the next level, and just their insight, not only on just the football aspect of it, but the background and knowledge, man, that they really brought to the broadcast, really, really upped everything we were doing.
Love to hear it. That's kick-ass. We got Sean Merriman with us here in the G-Bag Nation. What do you remember, Combine? You do the interviews and stuff. Did you have any crazy interactions with a coach or a GM when they were thinking about taking you?
Yeah, because I didn't do much of the combine, so I was circled up in that little hotel room getting grilled, right? Who do I think I am, and why do I think I have to work out and do this and that? And for one, I didn't tell them because I was on a track at Santa Monica College 3 weeks before, running on the track with Pac-Man Jones and Darren Sproles, and pulled my quad. I don't know what the hell I was thinking trying to race against them, but I felt good that day. So I walked in a little banged up, but also, too, I felt like I wanted to be in the comfort of my own home back at the University of Maryland. I also knew, and I think Shady McCoy alluded to this, and this is something I did a long time ago that I never talked about. I purposely wanted to go back home because I thought it was a lot of guys who could potentially get drafted who I played with. And that one notable guy who I can bring up who jumped from not being drafted at all to, I think, fourth or fifth round was Dominique Foxworth.
Yeah,
Who now over there on ESPN. He was a guy that was super talented, super smart, but it was so many scouts that came out, GMs, head coaches, some even team owners came out to my pro day that I believe he jumped three rounds. And that is the importance, and I believe that Washador and some of these bigger guys are only working out during the pro day.
Hey, Sean, I was part of the Cowboys staff when you were drafted, in that room. What did Bill Parcells tell you about our thoughts about you?
Well, he loved the way I played, and in fact, he told me his exact words that he was going to work my ass to death as soon as I got there.
Yeah.
Which scared the heck out of me, being a 20-year-old kid. But I also played for some tough coaches. I had Ralph Friesen in college,
sure,
which was a very tough coach. I ended up going to a very tough coach in Marty Schottenheimer. So I always actually really, really enjoyed tough coaches because I know that if you go out there and you play hard as you can for 60 minutes, you become their favorite. That's just how they are. You go out, you practice every day, you lay it on the line, you become one of their favorite players.
It's Sean Merriman here with you on 105 through the Fan, home of the Cowboys. We talked to you there that week, Shrine Bowl week, and I think we even asked you about Chad Johnson, James Harrison, and then we get to Radio Row in New Orleans. How surprised were you that Chad was talking like that to James?
Chad doesn't care, man. I truthfully believe that certain parts of him wants to be funny, and he's one of the most entertaining guys I think we've ever had in not even just in football, but in sports.
Yeah.
But Chad actually was a pretty decent boxer. So I think that in a boxing match, he would fare well or fare decently against James Harrison because I've never seen James Harrison box, but I also offered James Harrison to come and fight in my MMA league, like how they train fighting. I put that on the table. If he wanted to fight me instead of Chad, maybe people I believe would watch that before they would watch Chad and Debo get after it in the ring.
What'd you think about Frank Gore? I mean, lights out again.
Yeah. I mean, Frank, I'm just not surprised, right? And this is something I talked to Dana White actually about. I believe that the next great heavyweight line of heavyweight champions are going to be football players. I believe that's why the heavyweight division of the UFC hasn't really held its weight for a long time because your top heavyweights in the country are playing for Alabama, playing for Florida, Texas. And so, when that crossover is going to happen because I think the money is great enough that maybe a guy that only played 3 or 4 years in the NFL saying, you know what, I don't have another chance playing in the NFL, and I want to go get a fighting career. And I think that we're really close to that. I've talked to several guys. There's several players right now that, if they don't get picked up by the USFL or they don't get another opportunity in the NFL, that they will transition and come over to combat sports.
Sean, you're a guy that's experienced a lot of incredible sports feelings throughout your time competing. Does anything compare with just completely KOing a dude the way Frank Gore did that guy over the weekend?
No. You know, because in football, right, you go out and get a big sack or a big hit, you still got 10 other guys on the field that made that play possible, even for you to go out and make that big play. When you're in the cage or the ring, it's just you. Once you step in that squared circle, you get in there, it's just you and the guy across from you, and everybody see it. And I'm not surprised at all that Frank was down at the East-West Shrine Bowl, and I talked to him a little bit. I would love to see him get back into the ring or the cage or something like that, man. But we talked about it. Training at what Frank is doing with his age and his body, what he's been through with his knees and the injuries coming back, it's just somebody needs to study his DNA. Seriously, Frank is just a different guy all the way around.
Yeah, I believe he could get 3.5 yards per carry in the NFL until he's 85 years old. I just believe he has that in him. Who's the quarterback in the league you'd most like to sack right now, Sean?
Probably Patrick. Probably Patrick Mahomes, because, I mean, he's great. But, you know, I think that we've gotten to a point now where the NFL is going to look at during the offseason of just the complaining and protecting these defensive players. I know you want to protect the quarterbacks as much as possible, but to see some of those calls when he's sliding late, or stopping 2 yards before he go out of bounds, or getting pushed out, looking for a flag. I think the NFL is going to step in at some point and say, "Look, we got to even a playing field a bit here, because you don't want to take away the integrity of how the players are going out and playing the game, which is why everybody loves football: passion, emotion, aggression. And if you start taking that away because they are afraid that they're going to get fined or flagged because someone draws it, it could really diminish the game over time."
So Lights Out Sports TV, it's booming. We dominated the Shrine Bowl practices, and now we've got a new partnership. You're expanding the Ultimate Fan Zone with Game Day Hospitality. What is in the cards for this?
Yes. We partnered with Game Day Hospitality, which is the biggest tailgating company in the country. We did Buffalo's tailgate last year for the Bills game. And it was next level. So make sure you guys download Lights Out Sports TV. We got the Chargers tailgates who were there last year, the Bills, and now we're going to expand that to 20 different markets during their home games. There'll be 3 former players each team. This has never been done. And, you know, we wanted to bring, you know, the fans and people closer to the tailgate action. It'll be live on Lights Out Sports TV, but also we got some partnerships coming up where we're going to simulcast with other networks. But we're going to make this as fun as possible, man. So think of college game day, but for the NFL and NFL fans and these teams.
Sean, did you want to see Patrick Mahomes Sr. versus John Rocker? Any part of you?
100%.
And you really hate the Chiefs, don't you?
What's that?
You really hate the Chiefs, don't you?
I don't hate the Chiefs, actually. I look, Chris Jones is my favorite, you know, top 2 favorite defensive players, and I got all the respect and love for Andy Reid, and, you know, I met him several times. Love what they're building down there. I know that people are jumping on their back right now because they were looking for the 3-peat and Shannon, they fell off. They're going to be back there in the next couple of years or so. It's just how that team is built. But also, too, just the way some of those games went this year just didn't sit well with me as a former defensive player.
Yeah, and from that perspective, do you feel like the tush push should remain in the sport?
Yeah, 100%. I think that most teams, instead of complaining about it, try to figure out a way to get them out of it. I don't know if you guys remember when that Wildcat or that RPO action first got introduced, like around Jim Harbaugh's era when he was in San Fran, and they were just killing teams off of it. Well, they started hitting the quarterback no matter if he had the ball or not, and they got out of that formation very quickly. So I think that teams need to find a way to get them out of it where they don't want to run anymore. And I'm not saying for anybody to go out there and get hurt, but I think that there's a risk because there's so much weight and so much happening in the pile that you would at some point in time want to get your quarterback out of that situation.
Lights out, Sean Merriman. You always kill it with us. Thank you once again, sir.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me on.
Cheers. There he goes. Sean Merriman. Yeah, good props for Wolchuk, man. You and Vach did a nice job there covering those prospects for him.
We tried, man. We tried. We had to make him proud.
But he said you saved his tail. I believe that's a direct quote. I mean, you guys just stepped in there and
it was a disaster.
Hit it out the park.
First 2 days were not good.
Nothing the bully can't fix. Yeah.